Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Reverend Daryl Sorrells, secretary thereof, have hereunto set our hands and caused the seal of the diocese to be affixed this 20th day of April, 1974.
The testimonial of the election of a bishop. We whose names are hereunder written, fully sensible how important it is that the sacred order and office of bishop should not be unworthily conferred, and firmly persuaded that it is our duty to bear testimony on this solemn occasion without partiality or affection, do in the presence of Almighty God testify that David Ray Cochran is not, so far as we are informed, justly liable to evil report, either for error in religion or for viciousness of life, and that we know of no impediment on account of which he ought not to be ordained and consecrated to that holy office. We do, moreover, jointly and severally declare that we believe him to be of such sufficiency in good learning, of such soundness in the faith, and of such virtuous and pure manners and godly conversation, that he is apt and meet to exercise the office of a bishop to the honor of God and the edifying of his church, and to be a wholesome example to the flock of Christ. Signed, William J. Gordon, Jr., President of the Convention, and Dale G. Sorrells, Secretary of the Convention, dated August 28, 1974. The names of the people who were at the convention and voting and entitled to vote are appended. I hereby certify that this testimonial was signed by a constitutional majority of the convention of the Diocese of Alaska, meeting in session at All Saints Church, Anchorage, Alaska, on Saturday, the 20th day of April, 1974. Signed, Dale G. Sorrells, Secretary of the Convention.
The evidence of ordination. I, Malcolm Miner, priest in good standing in the Diocese of Alaska, certify that David Ray Cochran was ordained deacon in February of 1940 by Bishop Hobson for Central New York, and priest in September of the same year by Bishop Whittemore.
Testimonial of consents of standing committees. I hereby certify that consents have been received from the standing committees of 92 dioceses, of which a list is attached to the certificate from which I am reading, to the ordination and consecration of David Ray Cochran to be Bishop of the Diocese of Alaska, which is signed by Bob G. Jones, President of the Standing Committee, and read by me, Eric Walforth, Chancellor of the Diocese of Alaska.
This is addressed to the President of the Standing Committee, the Diocese of Alaska. My dear sir, I hereby certify that as of this date, 91 bishops have consented to the ordination and consecration of the Reverend David R. Cochran, Bishop-elect of the Diocese of Alaska, to be a bishop in the Church of God. And attached to this are the names of the 91 bishops, including, interestingly enough, the Bishop of Alaska. It is signed by the Most Reverend John M. Allen, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church.
Bishop of the Church in Alaska, do promise conformity and obedience to the doctrine, discipline, and worship of the Episcopal Church.
Dear friends in Christ, you've heard testimony given that David Cochrane has been duly and lawfully elected to be a bishop of the Church of God to serve in the Diocese of Alaska. We have been assured of his suitability for this office and that the Church has, through its authorized representatives, approved him for this sacred responsibility. We therefore present him to you as bishop-elect. We ask you to voice your assent and to express the loyalty which you will give to him as bishop. Is he worthy?
He is worthy! He is worthy! He is worthy!
The scriptures tell us that our Savior Christ spent the whole night in prayer before he chose and sent forth his 12 apostles. Likewise, the apostles prayed before they appointed Matthias to be one of their number. Let us therefore follow their examples and offer our prayers to Almighty God before we ordain this person for the work to which we trust the Holy Spirit has called him.
Would you please remain standing for the litany? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we humbly pray that you will hear us, O Lord, and that you will send peace to the whole world, which you have reconciled to yourself by the ministry of your Son, Jesus.
Lord,
that you will guide all in civil authority, and we remember especially the President and our Governor and those in authority from the various communities from which we come, to establish justice and maintain it for all men. That you will heal the divisions of your visible church, as we remember particularly the controversies within our own Episcopal Communion concerning the exercise of your ministry, that we all may be one. That you will grant to your people the forgiveness of sins and give us grace to amend our lives. That you will lead every member of your church in his particular vocation and ministry to serve you in a true and godly life. That you will raise up able ministers for your church, that the gospel may be known to all people. That you will inspire all bishops, priests, and deacons with your love, and more especially those who serve in this diocese, that they may hunger for truth and thirst for righteousness. That you will fill them with compassion and move them to care for all people. That you will bless our brother David, elected bishop in your church, and pour your grace upon him, giving him strength and good health and a good measure of patience with us all, that he may faithfully fulfill the duties of his ministry, build up your church, and glorify your name. That you will bless his family, particularly Mary, his wife, and adorn them with all Christian virtues. That by the indwelling of your Holy Spirit, you will sustain those who have been called to the ministry of your church and encourage them to persevere to the end. That we, with your blessed servant, St. Augustine, and all your saints who have served you in the past, may be gathered into your unending kingdom. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord God, the light of the minds that know you, the life of the souls that love you, and the strength of the hearts that serve you, help us, after the example of your servant, St. Augustine, so to know you that we may truly love you, so to love you that we may fully serve you, whom to serve is perfect freedom, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, by whose Holy Spirit your people are provided with true and faithful pastors,
By the same Spirit, kindle in this your servant such love toward you, that he may witness to you in holiness of life, zealously proclaim the gospel, and gather a people reconciled in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and ever.
Amen.
The Old Testament lesson is found in the 61st verse of the book of the prophet Isaiah, beginning at the first verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Here ends the reading of the lesson.
We stand and sing praise to the Lord on page 5.
Thank you. epistle is written in the third chapter of 2 Corinthians, beginning as the fourth verse. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ our God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to claim anything as coming from having this ministry by the mercy of God. We do not lose heart. We have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Here ends the epistle.
Gospel according to St. Matthew. And Jesus came and said to them,
All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Gospel.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Before saying anything else on this glorious and happy occasion, I wish to express my own gratitude that I can be here. I thank those who invited me and made the trip here possible, and I am grateful, as we all are, to the many men and women and young people who have been working hard and contributing their effort and thought and talents to make this occasion so beautiful and so joyful. With this service itself and with the singing and dancing and feasting that go with it. Thanks be to God that this is happening. I myself live in Missouri at Roan Ridge Institute, many thousands of miles to the southeast of you. You may ask why on such an occasion a visiting preacher is brought in from the outside. Perhaps the answer is that a visitor may look at such occasion objectively and perhaps can speak coolly and calmly. Perhaps he may even be so cool that his sermon will be very short. Perhaps he can be like a traveler up on a mountain looking down on a village and seeing everything that is happening, but it all looks very small to him. I must confess to you right now that if these were the reasons why I was invited to be here, I was the worst possible choice. During the past few years, it has been my privilege to work very closely on a number of occasions, both with the former Bishop of Alaska, William Gordon, and with the Bishop-elect, David Cochran. I have had the pleasure of knowing a large number of the clergy and lay people who are present, and I cannot possibly be in the least cool or calm about this occasion. I am tremendously excited and enthusiastic, as I know you all are. Furthermore, for the past 7 years, I have been one of those who have been working on this present service for ordaining and consecrating a bishop. I have seen it used before, but this is the first time I have ever been invited to participate in the celebration of it in such a direct way. And therefore, it is a very special pleasure for me personally. The Bible readings we have just heard put before us a wealth of good things. In the gospel, we heard the command of Jesus to preach his good news to people everywhere and to bring people into the church by the sacrament of holy baptism. The church has been trying down through the centuries to obey this command. Today, we observe the anniversary of St. Augustine, who was a bishop in Africa 1,500 years ago. That was a long time ago and very far away. Yet he was ordained a bishop in a service much like this, bound to us by the same faith across that wide span of time and space. Here in Alaska, the church has tried to follow Christ's command to preach to all people, and you have been fortunate to have among yourselves here many different peoples, Eskimos and Aleuts and different tribes of Indian peoples, and Russians who first preached the gospel here, settlers from the lower United States and from Canada and Europe, and people from Japan and the Philippines and other parts of the great Pacific world. In the sacrament of holy baptism, men and women and children of every nation and tribe and tongue find their unity as the sons and daughters of God, as the brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, sharing the anointing of His Holy Spirit. And thanks be to God for that too. And then in the epistle, we had this magnificent passage about preaching the Lordship of Jesus Christ, perhaps the most beautiful passage St. Paul ever wrote. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Before the epistle, we heard the great passage from the latter part of the book of the prophet Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of prison, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And then a little farther, "You shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the ministers of our God." How fitting this passage is for Alaska, where such heroic bishops, other clergy, and lay people have labored in so many ways to proclaim this good news of Jesus Christ down through the years. There are also many other levels of meaning in this passage. The prophet who wrote it felt the power of God's Spirit working in him and speaking through him. But he also foretold the fullest and most complete gift of the Holy Spirit, which was to be given to Jesus Christ. The prophet speaks of spiritual anointing. The word Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah, the one on whom the anointing Spirit has come. This is especially associated with the baptism of Jesus. You remember that he was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan, and he heard God say, "You are my son." And the Holy Spirit descended on him like a bird flying down on the waters. And then what happened? By the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus was sent out into the wilderness, out into the bush, all by himself, with no tools, no weapons, no food. There he spent 40 days in fasting and prayer, living by himself in the mountains of Palestine, in the wild country where there was nothing else but wolves and other animals. It was there, alone with God in the wilderness, that Jesus found the knowledge and the strength to carry out his ministry. So it has been again and again in Christian history that men and women who have learned to be alone with God under the open sky, people who have spent hours and hours in prayer and meditation, have brought new guidance to the church. We are told that in olden times, the leaders of the Indian and of the Eskimo peoples also did this. They went out alone into the wilderness with the animals as their only companions to find spiritual strength.
Jesus Christ did some of the same things, for in him is gathered up the spiritual heritage of all the peoples of the world. I hope this has meaning for your new bishop, and I hope it has meaning for the people of the Diocese of Alaska. You have lots of wilderness and lots of bush country, lots of mountains and lonely seashores here in Alaska. Your forefathers have met God in the wilderness here. May you and your children continue to meet him. There is already enough weak religion in the world today. There is enough shallow faith. There is enough cheap thinking. The church needs the deep faith of men and women who have stood before God in the wind and cold and darkness, and who have heard that still small voice that is stronger than any storm. Let the Diocese of Alaska be a holy diocese of people who really know God. Fulfill the words of this lesson. You shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the ministers of our God. After Jesus had been in the wilderness, what did he do? He came back and he wandered all around with his disciples, visiting villages and towns and cities. He talked to people on the roads, along the seashores, on the streets, and in their homes. He talked to old people and children. He talked to farmers and housewives and shopkeepers and government employees and soldiers and fishermen, sailors. To every sort of person, he brought his good news of healing and deliverance. Through his church, Jesus is still doing this. He works through us, the members of his body. We are to be his hands and his feet and his voice in this world. Jesus shares with us the anointing of his Holy Spirit so that through us he can still go through villages and towns and cities and can still go on healing and renewing the lives of people. In this redeeming work among people, in his sanctifying of the lives and work of his sisters and brothers, Jesus Christ carries out his high priesthood. It is in this redeeming work that we see the glory of God reflected in the face of Jesus Christ. For the face of the Lord Jesus is in the faces of his people. During this past few years, God has moved the Diocese of Alaska to take new steps to allow this to happen. You have given an example to the whole Episcopal Church of how people in cities and towns and villages can themselves enter more fully into the ministry and mission of Christ. You have reminded us that all who have entered into the church by holy baptism are members of the body of Christ. All, therefore, must be able to gather around the Lord's table regularly and frequently to receive the sacrament of the Lord's flesh and blood. You have challenged the whole church to face the fact that the sacred ministry of word and sacrament must be extended to every community where Christ's people live, and that no obstacles of culture or race
or economy can be allowed to block this. Tonight, we are gathered here for the ordination and consecration of your new bishop. And this is, of course, not simply a private sacramental act for David Cochran. The ordination of a bishop affects the whole diocese and the church outside. At this time, we are therefore giving thanks for what has been done in the past in Alaska, and we are expressing commitment and dedication for the future. It is important that everyone from the Diocese of Alaska and all of the visitors from elsewhere and all of the guests from other Christian churches whom we are so glad to have here at this time, that all understand the importance of what the Spirit of God is doing among you at this time in opening up the responsibilities and leadership of the church to the people of the church. This new path you have entered, of course, has problems and difficulties. Of course, there are questions still to be answered. But thanks be to God that you of the Diocese of Alaska have had the courage and strength under God to do what you have done. And thanks be to God that you are determined to keep moving forward. In order to do this, you have chosen as your new bishop the one man best qualified in the entire Episcopal Church to lead you on. A man who has clearly proven his ability to equip men and women for lay and ordained Christian leadership, both in the church and in their communities. In the years ahead, you and he will, by God's grace, do many new things. Perhaps new ways of organizing parishes and missions will be developed here. New ecumenical sharing will take place. New institutions may be founded. New links with the church in Canada and elsewhere may develop. You will increasingly find ways to express your devotion and your faith in music composed in Alaska. And the great artistic talent and creative ability of Native Alaskan peoples may find a fuller expression in Christian art. Many secular aspects of life in Alaska will also challenge the contribution and participation of Christian people. Someday, Episcopalians in Alaska will need more than one bishop. Will you divide up Alaska into separate but equal dioceses the way we've done in the lower states? Or will you find some better way, perhaps maintaining some regional unity of several bishoprics? Many exciting things lie ahead of you, which can come and will come in the good providence of God. The most important thing will remain the reality of the Christian life, the life of Jesus Christ as he wills to live it in and through his people, in the flesh and blood human beings who through Christ have been adopted into the family of God by the power of his Holy Spirit. In conclusion, David, I would like to say a few words to you. You and I have worked very closely in the last few years. You probably know some of the things that I am wishing and hoping for you at this time, whether I say them or not. And I'm sure I know some of the thoughts, at least, that are in your mind at this solemn moment. I know I do not need to urge you or exhort you to pursue the duties of your new work. I know that you will be most diligent at it, and I know that your wife Mary will be working hard at your side. I don't need to talk of taking your work seriously.
Perhaps, however, something should be said as to the other side of the coin. In a diocese such as this, you cannot possibly do all of the things that might be done. It's not a question of compromises or taking shortcuts. It's simply the fact of the situation. It is also the fact of the situation that you could not possibly set up such a beautiful administrative system that someone else, or many someone's else's, could do all of the things that need to be done. That, again, is simply not possible within the situation. It would appear that such a diocese as this lays before its bishop and other clergy and people the necessity of putting the affairs and the leadership and the guidance of this great diocese into the hands of God constantly, sincerely, and repeatedly. The only way we can get God's help, the only way we can obtain it, is by prayer. We know that this is central to the Christian life. We surely know that it is much in need today for Alaska and everywhere else. The House of Bishops of our church has men of prayer in it, but it certainly needs more. In this period, which Bishop Gordon described today as such a happy and hopeful moment in the life of the church, we especially need God's own guidance. Prayer, of course, is always a priority. It will go out of fashion. It never was in fashion in this world, but it is always in fashion among the saints of God. How much time a bishop in this period of history should spend in prayer, I don't know. But I'm sure that each week it should be counted and reckoned, not in minutes, but in hours. I know that in the cold, dark nights of this place, one can be close to God and one's prayers can be heard. I know if this is made a priority of your episcopate, now it can remain with you as part of your ministry, as a central and distinguishing part of your ministry. If you neglect it now or hope that it may come upon you at some later time, it is most unlikely to happen. Finally, and lastly, when those of us were working on this service, tried to find some one set of words that would sum up the work and ministry of a bishop, we felt we had found it in the ancient prayer of consecration, which will be said over you in a few minutes. I don't know what your thoughts about this prayer at this moment may be, what emotional stirrings it may bring about for you, if any. It is a prayer about 1,700 years old, which ever since it was written has been said over bishops somewhere in the Christian church. I have studied this prayer and the collection of which it is a part rather closely for 25 years, and I can assure you that in the years ahead, it will give you something to think about and ponder about. May it be a staff to support you, something you can take with you from this service, something to guide you as you pray in the power of that Spirit by whom the church is built up in every place. And now let us ascribe all glory, honor, and praise to Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, our great high priest, the head of his body, the church, in the unity of his holy and life-giving spirit, now and ever, and to the ages of ages. Amen.
Well, we sing, rejoice, Lord.